Wonder in reality. This is Jim in Bogota, Colombia. Part two of the Holy Spirit. I'm on a street that is, by Bogota standards, is not very busy. I'm in a part of town now, Palermo, near Champinero, that's relatively quiet. A city of 10 million people with so many things going on. It's mind-boggling. Everywhere you go. People. Stores. People selling things. Trying to make it. Vehicles. Cars. Taxis. Motorcycles. Buses of all sizes. Transmillennio. Massive buses packed with people. And people walking. The city is between mountains in a valley, so everyone who's in this, the main part of the city, it's crowded and land is very valuable. In this short message, I'm going to touch on some main topics, continuing about the Holy Spirit, such a wonderful topic. Incredible, the greatest topic in the world. Also, going to present some things about the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church here in Colombia. I don't know the exact stats, but it's probably 80 to 90% of people would say they are Catholic. This is a dangerous city. You have to be on alert, on guard, all the time. I know many people, including myself, who have been a victim of crime here, and that's just part of being here. I just crossed the street. There's 10 motorcycles coming right at us. And in the midst of them, one person riding a bike, just to, you know, casually. First main point, when we walk with the Holy Spirit, when we meet Him, we experience, we are now walking in the Spirit, we're experiencing a true relationship with God Almighty. And let me say, this is incredible news, incredible truth that I'm about to just touch on. When we know Him and are walking with Him, we move into the glorious realm that really can't be described, but we realize we have God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of mankind, with us all the time, and He's everywhere we go. He's within us and He's all around us all the time, and He is helping us to walk with Him, of course, with Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ. But the most powerful being in the universe, who owns everything, who has everything, and we rely on Him, we move into the realm of faith. We are walking by faith, and it's glorious. It's easy and simple. It's what we were meant to do. In fact, if you think about it, relying on Him, that's the easiest thing in the world to do. When we rely on ourselves, well, we're just relying on one human being. Or if we rely on our family, you know, let's say there's three or four people, we're relying on them. Well, that's nothing compared to relying on God. I mean, faith is reliance, it's trust. And we have all these different views of faith and thoughts and and perspectives, our own views, call them, on faith. And many of us, we think that it's hard and it's complicated and it's, you know, faith. Oh, we have to work up our faith and all of these. And it's not like that at all. When we meet Him, when we know Him and we meet Him and we are walking with Him, glory to God forever. We are walking by faith. It's natural. It happens. We don't even have to try. We're in the realm of faith. We're walking by faith. And that's, as we know, that's Jesus' second most frequent topic, faith. His first topic, kingdom, the presence of God. That's his main topic. Second topic that he taught about the most, the second most, faith. If he did that, it's important. And so we have this in our human nature. It's like we want to work up our faith and we want to have faith and we want to believe and all these. It's not like that at all. When we meet him, we get faith. He's the spirit of Jesus Christ, the spirit of God, the spirit of faith. Amen. I'm now on a corner. It's basically 45th Street. If you think about streets going from 0 to like 120, and it goes in the positive and then it goes in the negative, north and south of 0. I'm at 45, walking into a small bakery. You smell the bread. A wonderful smell of bread, baking, all kinds of bread. And there's restaurants. From this corner, I can probably count 15 different little restaurants that all, you know, family-owned, selling great food for lunch, and some are open for dinner, but mainly for lunch and breakfast, and all kinds of stores, small groceries. People selling things on the sidewalks, avocados, fruit. In other parts of town, you can barely walk with so many people and so many people on the street selling things. Here's a stand selling, filled with what basically is candy. Small store with watches. My point is there's so much going on. The point I've made in the previous message is anywhere we are, there are thousands upon thousands of options for us as human beings. And here you trip over them. Here they're right. You just walk down the street and they're everywhere. All these, and they're fun things. But there's one thing that is the answer, and that's meeting the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. One thing. Developing that relationship with Him. Developing just walking with Him every day. And, you know, I said it before, we talk about developing our relationship, growing, maturing, things like that. Really, it's dying. When we meet Him, we realize it's all about dying, about getting rid of our old nature. And that's when we truly can walk with Him. Next point, building off of some of the previous messages, how can we help those who are suffering and enduring hardship and who are even destitute? How can we help people? I mean, that's a broad question. And I earlier was thinking about this. Many ways that we can help them. And we should try, we definitely should do what we can to help them practically to where we can. You know, a great man of God said, we cannot help the many, but we can help the few. And that's the few God will hold us responsible for. Now, but how can we really help them? And if you think about it, one of the main ways is salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's when they really, that's when, someone is truly helped for eternity. They find Jesus Christ. They now have found the answer. They now have the great and awesome God in their life. They're right with Him. They're on their way, they're in, and they can live forever. Amen. And, I'm an evangelist. Obviously, I'm biased because I believe, getting the gospel to people is of the utmost importance. But that's how we can truly help them. Even people who do know Jesus Christ. And that's what brings me to the next point. Even those who know, they know that Jesus, let's say that they are saved. They know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Or let's say that they have, there's two German shepherds on a leash. Well, one of them is. Let's say that they at least, they know that Jesus Christ is the answer, whether they're saved or not, is not my point. But when we have the anointing, that can bring them to true salvation. They may have, been a Catholic or a Protestant. That's the two main two groups of those who are in the camp of Jesus Christ, right? They may have been in those for 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, but not really. Maybe they're just in the beginning of that first phase, and they really are kind of on the fence. But when they experience the anointing, the presence of Jesus Christ, then they truly can get saved and truly will be saved. Glory to God. And they will, that's the answer. And so that brings me to the Catholic and Protestant issue. Now, I'm in this country that's 80 to 90% Catholic. And there's probably many people who would say that they're Catholic who don't even, practice Catholicism. So that's why I'm going to just present some things about just a few things. The big picture is there's 1.4 billion Catholics in the world. There's 900 million Protestants, roughly. I mean, the Catholic Church, it's a vast topic. There are no definitive answers. It's not a black and white issue. There are so many people in the Catholic Church who are saved. Glory to God. They are gloriously saved and will make it to heaven with flying colors. Amen. Who knows? Maybe a majority. I'm not judging. I'm just presenting, and I could present the same thing about the Catholic Church, about the Protestant Church, that I'm here at a large Catholic church, beautiful church, that has services every day. There's one that's about to start. I'm going to go in. It's at 6:30 p.m. That here's what a great woman of God once said. Many people who make it to heaven, when they get there, they will realize how much they missed out on earth. And so, in the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, there's this religious overtone, undertone, whatever you want to call it. A lot of religion. A whole lot of religious activity. And in the Catholic Church, it's very apparent. The sacraments and things that you need to do, and do the cross on your chest, and pray the rosary, and go to Mass, and on and on and on. And And in the, I could say the same, some of the similar things about the Protestant church, the dead religion aspect of it. But one thing I want to present is how much so many people are missing out. They're missing out on this glorious, simple, personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is 24 hours a day, all the time, and we don't have to do this long list of things that the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church says that we need to do. And so people in the church, it's almost like they are, you know, they think, oh, well, if I do these things, I'm right with God. You know, if I do all these sacraments, if I go do good works, I'm right with God, and I'm going to make it to heaven. And that's, you know. Now, again, a lot of the things that they're doing, wonderful. These are wonderful people. Wonderful. But how much they're missing out. Missing out on the glorious walk with Jesus Christ that is the purpose of human existence, what we were meant to do. Why we're here on the earth. It's so simple and basic and easy, and we go through the phases, the four phases, and the fourth phase, the anointing, where we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That is, He is the treasure buried in a field, that when a man found it, he went and sold everything he had, and he bought that field, and he dug it up again and again and again and again and again. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God. That's the presence of Jesus. We get just a taste of it in phase two. Phase one is just born again. We're just born again. We're just babies in Jesus Christ. We may get a little taste then, but it's in phase two. That's born of the Spirit. And we get a taste, and we have to... It's only common sense. He's God Almighty. We have to continue on with Him. We have to prove ourselves worthy and all of that. And we realize that it's about dying. It's about getting rid of our old nature. And then the Holy Spirit is released through us. Amen. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it lives alone. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it lives alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. A grain of wheat is a seed, basically. We could translate it this way. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it lives alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He was talking, of course, mainly, well, he was referring to his death. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ died for the world. For the whole world. And He bears much fruit. That's a sacred, holy thing. Jesus died for the world. It's almost so sacred that I just want to stop right there. But I don't want to stop there, because He also is referring to every human being, the potential that if we die, we bear much fruit. Every human being has the potential to come to God, to get rid of their old nature, die, and let Jesus Christ be released through them and through their life. Amen. And he said it in several different ways. He said, if anyone wants to save his life, he'll lose it. But if anyone loses his life for my sake and for the gospel, he'll find it. If anyone finds his... he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life will find it. Also in that same glorious truth about the grain of wheat, about the seed going into the ground and dying, he said, if anyone loves his life, he'll lose it. But if anyone hates his life in this world, he'll keep it for eternal life. Amen. So we want, it's just about us dying and getting rid of our old nature. Losing our life for Jesus, hating our life. We don't want our old nature. It's not worth anything. We're trading it for the most valuable entity in the universe. Amen. So, how much people are missing out. They may be trying. They are. At least they're trying. That's good. I mean, there's so much good in the Catholic, so much good in the Catholic and Protestant Church. It's. I mean, who am I to judge? I'm not. I'm just presenting some things to think about. But this goes along with what I've been saying. You know, there's thousands of options that we have and things that we can do. We can go. We can be a Catholic and do all. The whole list of everything that the Catholic Church says to do, or our Protestant Church, we can do it to the max, do everything just perfectly. We can do that. That's on that list of thousands of things. We can go out and feed the poor. That's fantastic. That's glorious. Someone will get treasures in heaven for doing that. So that list of thousands of things, many of them are good things, are things that are, you know, we have good intentions. We're trying, you know, now many of the things on the list, you go down, it's kind of, if they're in order, you know, at the end of the list is things that we know are wrong and that are, you know, overt sins and being, you know, you know, running from God, not acknowledging God at all, ignoring Him, making fun of Him, all these options, you know, but honing in on, as the Protestant and Catholic Church, if we're in those, you know, and if we think that that's the answer, that's on that list of thousands of things that we can do that really... That's not a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so, how do we do it? Common sense. But just as I've been saying, humble ourselves before Him. By the way, here's four nuns walking up to the church. Glory to God. People who have served God their whole life. That's incredible. That's incredible. That puts, you know, people like me are doing nothing compared to them. But that comparisons don't work. We're not here to compare. I'm here to just present these things. Okay? Okay, so back to the question I just asked. How do we walk with the Holy Spirit? It's common sense. In fact, I challenge anyone who's listening, you know, if you know Jesus Christ, you know the Holy Spirit. But it's almost so common sense and so innate in us that I don't even need to list any of the things that we have to do to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So few people actually do. So few people acknowledge Him. And I just, you have the potential to be... one of the few in the whole world who know Him and walk with Him. And again, it's just common sense. It's humbling ourselves before Him. seeking Him with our whole heart. Being faithful, being obedient, looking at all the things that Jesus said to do and doing them. And how do we do them? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we love those who have hurt us? In our old nature wants to hate them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive that miracle that we need? We need a deep miracle. We need deliverance. We need freedom. We need a physical healing. How do we receive them? Through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's about 50 people in the church. As I said, a beautiful church. Inside, tall ceilings. Outside, it goes up to probably 10 stories. I'm going to try to see if there's a year here. Well, it's all in... This church looks to be 100, 150 years old. There's churches in Bogota that are 400 years old. It's amazing. So about 50 people in the church, five of them nuns. I hope that you could hear some of the service. And I hope, please, know that this is one person's opinion out of 2.4 billion people. My opinion really doesn't matter. These are things I just wanted to bring out into the open, put them on the table. There is amazing things going on all the time. And again, a final point about this, when I keep talking about the thousands and thousands of things that we can do, you know, it brings up the famous verse, you know, that says to do the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, there's a deep truth in that verse. Deep, deep truths. You know, we can be doing the good and we can miss the perfect will of God. You know, and that just goes right along with this whole concept of thousands of things. You know, and it goes right along with the Catholic and Protestant Church. You know, the Protestant Church you know, people can think, oh, well, if I go to church twice a week and if I do all the things they say to do and I'm part of this church and all that, well, I'm doing it. That's enough. And, you know, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, and that those things are good. But they're totally missing out. You know, somebody can actually not even be a Christian, not even know Jesus Christ, and they can go and dedicate their life to helping the poor. That's good. They're doing something good. They're completely missing out. In fact, they're in a dangerous place. They're dead spiritually, and if they die, I hate to say it, but they'll end up in hell. The general point here is we want to do the perfect will of God, the ideal, the best. Amen. And that's this one person walking with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening.